In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for another session of the Word for Life. I'm Mark Widmer, and joining Pastor Ken Keltner here as we're walking through the book of Judges. Today we're in chapter 18. It's hard to believe we've crossed into the month of December already, and it'll be New Year's.
Incredible. I mean, what happened to the year?
I know.
It just goes by fast.
It sure has. We've got a couple special things coming up at the church this month, as other churches. But this Sunday on the 10th, 6 o'clock p.m., is going to be a really special children's program that we have at the church, and love to have you come out and enjoy that. There's video and live singing and so forth, and just going to be a great time celebrating the birth of Christ. A week later, on the 17th in the evening, we're going to have the adult cantata, and that also involves some drama and video all interspersed, and it'll be a great, great time as well. And then the following week, the 24th, Christmas Eve is unusual this year because it happens to be Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we've debated how do we handle that. And so in the morning, we're going to have our normal services at 9 o'clock and 10:15. No Sunday school classes that day. And then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to have one service, a candlelight service, that's devoted to Christmas Eve. And so come and to any or all of those who would love to have you take part.
Yeah, it's great. It'll be a great time for our church family, and if you don't have a church, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. So thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, if you have joined us, I think on our last broadcast, we had Dan Willoughby on again. Powerful testimony of how God's used him and his family in South America, and now he and his wife Debbie in Germany and South Africa, and even in the Ukraine. So we're going to pick up again with Judges 18 is where we are. Our theme throughout the whole study of Judges has been hearts of stone and feet of clay. We're looking at the first 13 verses, and Pastor Mark, I guess if I titled it, it would be I Did It My Way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think perhaps that modern expression of what we've been reading here in Judges, they did that which was right in their own eyes. Doing it right in our own eyes is really what made probably Frank Sinatra's song so popular, I Did It My Way. You know, Sinatra's song could have actually been the theme song for the Israelites in the day of the Judges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, God really should have been their king.
Yeah.
But they didn't want God.
Yeah.
They wanted a king like all the other nations had. And if you've been with us, you know that seven different times, they're in this cycle. You talk about being on the gerbil wheel going round and round. They would sin against God, usually idolatry, which led to all kind of immorality. God would bring judgment on them. They would, in the form of another nation, they would serve another nation. And it would get so bad, and then there would be supplication. They'd be crying out to God for deliverance, and God in his faithfulness would bring a deliverer. Mm-hmm. He'd bring a judge. And as we get ready here to close out the book of Judges, you know, it's still this whole theme of forsaking God, going to different idols. And really, if the elders of Israel and of Judah would have consulted God's law and obeyed it and seen God's glory, I mean, Israel could have been governed successfully, but no. Doing right in their own eyes, the result was it was a society that was filled with corruption, mm-hmm. competition, confusion. So we're here with the Danites, and I hate to tell you, the more we go here through the end, it just gets nasty, ugly. I don't even like mm-hmm. to really read it. But it's here for our understanding of what life, how life goes on without mm-hmm. God. And I think this could possibly preach in Washington, D.C., too. Let's look at the sins of the tribe of Dan as they sought not what God wanted, but what they wanted and what they thought would actually better themselves. And we see in the first two verses, they're just filled with covetousness. So, Pastor Mark, won't you read those first two verses for us?
In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent five men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there.
So reading here about the Danites, I mean, it's almost like the thud of biblical ignorance begins to really fall on the Danites here in these first two verses. Because as you were reading, it just stood out to me. They're saying, you know, we're told the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. Now, yeah, I got to stop for a second and say, hold on. The Danites are looking for a home? Do not think that Dan had been omitted when Joshua divided up the land. Joshua 19 makes it very clear when we get to that section that the land of Israel was allotted to the tribes of Israel by Joshua and Eleazar the priest and the elders from the tribes. God put each tribe just where he wanted it. And the assigned portion of the tribe of Dan, they received land. It was between Ephraim and Judah, stretching out to the Mediterranean. Yet, here's what we're told with that, those first two verses. In essence, the tribe of Dan is rejecting God's assigned territory, and they coveted another place, which was in direct opposition to God's will. Dan, the tribe of Dan had refused to drive out the Amorites, and as a result, Judges 1 and verse 34 says, "And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley." So the tribe of Dan had actually failed in their military obligation and were confined to the hill country. And so the Danites did not even occupy their land at this point. They were forced to live in a semi-nomadic existence right there in the mountains because they failed to do what God said to do, and he was going to help them drive out the Amorites, but they didn't do it. And really, you know, Pastor Mark, we talk about that passage, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, God, and he shall direct your path." And yet, so many times we have trouble trusting God. And it's a picture here of the Danites, too. They just did not trust and depend on the Lord, and as a result, they rejected God's plan. They rejected his divine will for their own lives. You know, and they are much like Micah that we're going to start continuing to read about here. They suffer from the curse of restlessness and alienation because they just simply refuse to obey God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a born-again believer, and you're not wanting to follow God's word, you're not wanting to do what God wants you to do, you're going to be miserable and you're going to be restless. You see it all the time. They, the Danites, have an idolatrous view of God, and they have ignored his word because God already said, "Here's where I want you to live." He had laid it totally out. We've said it before, but when you're on a path that walks right past the Bible, walks right past what your parents have taught you and brought you up in, you've walked right past providence of what God has brought into your life. You've walked right past all the problems. You've walked right past all the pain. You've walked past God's promises. You're heading toward a destination of reaping God's chastisement or his judgment. The Danites, the bottom line is they weren't content with the land God had given them. Don't we see that a lot today, Pastor Mark? People aren't content. You know, they're not content with what they have. I tell, married couples, you need to be content in your marriage. You know, I mean, if you're not content in your marriage, you can have 24/7 accountability and you're going to still figure a way to go over to the, you know, climb through the, you know, the bushes to get over the neighbor's wife or husband. I mean, contentment is huge. When we are not content with what God gives us, we become covetous, and covetousness is a sin that breaks the 10th commandment of God. Isn't that what causes most of our trouble today in our society? I mean, I don't know if anything stands out to you with it, Pastor Mark, but as we look at today and our society, we are not happy.
Yeah.
We're not satisfied. It was like, I don't know if you were the one who told me this, but one of the Rockefellers was being asked the question of, how much money do you think you really need?
Yeah, one more dollar.
Yeah, one more. Well, for the Rockefellers, they're saying 1 million. I just need another million.
Yeah.
I just always would tell people, I just need $20. Yeah. I'd tell Kathy, I just need another $20. I remember I shared that one night when we were tailgating out in the back parking lot in the challenge that night, and I said something like that, and I think one of the men in the church came up and said, let me give you $20. Oh. Right when I was speaking, I go, oh, okay. No, you can take it. He goes, no, you're always short 20. That's what happens. instead of really submitting to God's will, people want what somebody else has. And that's why God put that as the 10th commandment. Do not covet what your neighbor has. And when people covet, they will do almost anything they have to do to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We're confronted today with the myth of more as a panacea to all of our problems. And society is trying to sell us stuff all the time, and it's not all that difficult to do because we're so unsatisfied with what we have. Scripture puts it like this. Solomon said, "The eyes of men are never satisfied." Let me ask you, friends, would you agree that discontentment is our default setting? Capitalizing on our inherent dissatisfaction, the worldwide marketing machine spends around $450 billion annually to make you unhappy with who you are, with what you have, with how you look, and with what you do. At its core, most advertising is designed to make us ungrateful and to feed our greed.
Yep.
Let me close with this morning. A commentator from Tel Aviv in Israel offers this insight. Because producers covet consumers' money, they need to get consumers to covet their goods. Social historians note that a change in American advertising after World War I, from conveying product information to manufacturing desire, the business people feared was too frugal. And so to rev up the economy, products were associated with images, glamour, and personal identity. And 30 years later, the post-World War II boom gave us this planned idea whose most recent incarnation is the need for continual upgrading of our electronic gadgets.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's all we need to stop with today.
Yep.
Ouch. Oh, ouch. Friends, I hope you'll be content. Don't be like the Danaites, not content. Be content with what God has given you. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.